Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
The Holy Spirit is not only praying for you, he prays with groanings that can't be uttered. Now, I don't know if you ever asked somebody to pray for you and came away a little disappointed in the experience. You ever had that happen? No. Oh, man, I got this huge burden up, and you know, I just don't know anything. You pour out your heart, and the person says, "Lord, please bless them. Amen." You know, and that's it. You know, sometimes that can be worse than not getting prayed for at all, right? But if on the other side of the coin you come and you pour out your heart about what's going on in your life, and boy, someone starts praying, and you know, they start getting emotional about it all, and finally they just get choked up. They go, "Oh, God, I just bless them, Lord." Boy, those are the people I want praying for me 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. Both services, if you will. But that's how the Holy Spirit prays for us. He's not passive. He's not like, "Well, if you hadn't dug the hole so deep, you wouldn't have these problems right now. You know, you buttered your bread, now you go sleep in it." No, that's not how the Holy Spirit relates to us. He prays for us passionately. So just as the flesh wants to pull us away from God passionately, so the Spirit wants us to walk with the Lord passionately. So who wins? Who wins the tug of war? You know, a story is told about a missionary to the Aleut Indians up in Alaska. And he had led one of the Aleuts to Christ, and he was discipling him, and he was talking about this whole battle between the spirit and the flesh, this tug of war that was going on. And the Aleut looked at the missionary and says, "I think I understand this one. You know, on my sled dog team, there's two dogs that are always fighting for domination. They both want to be the alpha in the team. And they always fight, and they struggle. And one of them's black and the other's white." And the missionary said to him, "Well, which one wins?" And the Aleut kind of laughed, and he said, "Well, I suppose the one I feed the most." Well, the same's true in our walk with God. Who are we feeding? Are we feeding our flesh? Are we indulging it? Are we giving it a beachhead within our lives? Or are we feeding ourselves on God's Holy Spirit? Now notice, God's intention in this battle is victory. God does not want us to live a life of defeat. Now notice, he says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." Oh, I love this. Notice, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. This is shocking news for a lot of believers, because there's a lot of believers running around out there who believe that once you get saved, then boy, you better get under the law. You better start keeping commands. You better start, you know, putting up on the fridge with a vegetable magnet your to-do list and to-don't list. You know, there's so many people who define their spirituality that way. Well, how do you know you're right with God? "Well, I don't drink, smoke, chew, or go with girls who do, and I tithe and witness too. Cuckoo, ca-choo." You know, I mean, that's what makes me right with God. But the Bible says, no, that's not what makes you right with God. Again, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." What is this saying? It's saying this: the secret of the Christian life is not resolutions. How many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? Can I see a show of hands? How many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? I won't ask for a show of hands on this. How many of you are still keeping those New Year's resolutions? You know, we go, "Well, I got that out of the way, and next January I'll try it again." Well, the secret of the Christian life isn't doing spiritual resolutions. By golly, I'm going to pray every day. By golly, I'm going to stay awake through that whole sermon for once. It's going to be great. by golly, you know, I'm going to give, and I'm going to give some of the missionaries too. No, that's not the secret of Christian growth. It's not resolution. It's revolution. God wants to transform your life from the inside out through the power of His Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, we see this beautiful principle at work within our lives. Writing to the Apostle Paul says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Notice what God's great goal is for your life and mine. It's not to make us good little boys and girls. It's not to make us religious. You know what God's great goal is for your life? To make you, yes, you, just like Jesus in your character. He wants to transform you from where you are to a likeness of Jesus. That people can see, that people can know, that people can touch in this world. They want you to be the poster child of the miraculous presence of God's perfect love. And here's the deal. God isn't going to be satisfied with you, and He's not going to be satisfied with me until we're just like His Son. From glory to glory, the Scripture says, God's Spirit is going to transform us into the same image, the image of Jesus Christ. Now, understand, God's power to accomplish that is there. God's plan to make you and me like Jesus, it's there. What's the only thing lacking? Our thumbs up. Our desire to go along with the project, if you will. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the struggle. And again, it is so important for us to understand that God not only calls us, but where God guides, He always provides. God will never call you to do anything in your walk with God without supplying all the power necessary to accomplish it. He's not going to say, "Well, gee, I'd like you to be like Jesus, and good luck how you work that out." No, He's going to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, give you all the power necessary to see your life transformed. Not because you've got your act together. Far from it. In fact, the first step towards being filled with the Spirit is just to say to God, "God, I can't do this." You know, if you, for instance, are so deluded here this morning that you think that you can be just like Jesus, well, I'll tell you, you got another thing coming. Because the more you grow in the Christian life, what do you discover? The more you grow, the more you know you need to grow, right? The more you get to know Jesus, the more you realize, okay, there's Jesus and there's me. There's me and there's Jesus. Well, one of these things is not like the others, right? One of these things does not belong. Yeah, it's funny. Early on in my walk with God, you know, my testimony, and you've probably heard it before, is that I was an atheist before I came to faith in Christ. And I'm not one of those people that can say to you, "Well, I'm not really sure when I became a Christian." You know, it's sort of a gradual thing. I can't point to a particular time. Well, if you're one of those people, and this is just a little aside, and can't point to a particular time when you invited Christ into your heart, boy, you really need to be careful with that. Because the Bible says, "To those who received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name." Maybe one of the reasons that you might be frustrated in your Christian experience is because you've fallen prey to churchianity rather than Christianity. You know, you've joined a church. You're kind of following along with the flow. You know, you hang out at the right place on Sunday morning. But have you made that conscious decision to invite Christ into your heart? That is really absolutely key. And you know, sometimes when people will say to me, "Well, you know, I'm sure I'm a Christian. I just can't point to a particular time when I invited Jesus into life." It almost reminds me of someone coming up to me and saying, "Well, you know, I'm sure we're married. I just can't remember a specific day when I said I do." Now, when someone says that to me, I'm convinced of two things. Number one, they're a guy, not a woman, right? But the other side of it is this. If you can't point to that time where you said, I do, chances are you didn't, right? You got something less than a marriage. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you never prayed and invited him into your heart, you never took him up on his offer. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That idea of dining being the most intimate fellowship possible. Well, for me, I've never had a problem with that. Because when I gave my life to Jesus, I walked into a movie theater that was showing a Billy Graham film in Oxnard, California. As a stone-cold atheist, I walked out knowing God. And it was night and day. And it was, whew, wow, my life is different now. And I just rejoice in the Lord over that. And things are so different. And things changed so radically for me as a result of that. Because I knew the love of God, my language cleared up. You know, because I knew the love of God, my older brother, you know, the 13-month older brother I've mentioned here, he used to tease me mercilessly, and, you know, he was faster than me, but I was bigger than him, and I'd eventually catch up to him, and all this stuff. Yeah, you know, same old stuff, and, you know, different reaction. Who are you? What's happened to you? Man, I saw so much change in my life. You know, I just started in the partying scene. God laid on my heart. You know, you come from three generations of alcoholics that you know of. Maybe you don't need that in your life. And I remember it was no big deal. It was like, why do I need to stand around in the middle of a dark party with a beer in my hand? You know, I used to have the beer in my hand because, you know, it would relax you. Well, I had the peace of God now. I didn't need this to relax me. Well, it made me more social. It made me more amiable towards other people. Well, I had the love of Jesus Christ in my heart. I didn't need to get out of a bottle what I could get out of the Bible. And, you know, I just remember just tossing away the beard. I didn't look back. And God did these radical changes within my life. And I remember it was about, well, 8 months in to being a Christian where I said to myself, wow, Lord, so much has changed so quick. I bet another year or so I'm going to be just like Jesus. And I'm sure in heaven God looked and said, oh, isn't he cute? Because, again, the more you grow, the more you know you need to grow, right? The more you realize that God is about this process. And you need to understand, the Christian life isn't just some kind of random sort of thing where, you know, you just try to duck trials and try to hold on to your faith till the rapture happens and the Lord comes for you. No, it's got a purpose behind it. God has a purpose and a plan. You know what his plan is? It's to make you like his son through the power of his Holy Spirit. Not by you and I trying harder, but by him transforming our character into the very image and likeness of Jesus Christ. You see, you can't do that by the law. You try to do that by the law, you're just going to end up spinning your wheels. God wants you to know that he not only has this purpose and plan for you, he has everything necessary to carry it out. But it comes down to this spirit-filled life. It comes down to walking, adopting as a lifestyle, the power, empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, how do you do that? Well, just a few things I want to leave you with that can change your life radically if you grasp these things. Number one, understand this. The Holy Spirit already indwells you if you're a believer in Christ. There's no such thing as a believer without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Spirit of God is with you. He will be in you. In other words, he was with you to bring you to salvation. The moment you said yes to a saving relationship with Christ, he indwells you. He's caused you to be born again through his Spirit. But there's another relationship with the Holy Spirit the Bible speaks of. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. See, he's with you to bring you to salvation. He's in you the moment you're born again. But he also wants to come upon you to give you power. Power to do what? And Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the innermost parts of the earth. Now notice he says, you will be my witnesses. He didn't say you'll do witnessing. You will be my witnesses. In other words, it's not a works trip. It's a transformation from the inside out. It is a supernatural miracle where God begins to do something in your life that you never dreamed possible. taking out the old you, taking out the control of the flesh, winning that tug of war through the power of his spirit. But understand something. You know, it's been said, the biggest problem with life is that it's so daily. You know, sometimes we go to a church service, and I don't know about you, but in our worship set here, I'm just so touched by God's Spirit. It was just exactly what I needed to hear as a result of things that had gone on this week. And you know, I could walk out here and go, oh, man, I was touched with the Holy Spirit on Sunday, and that's great. And you know what? The funny thing about Sunday is it's always followed by Monday, isn't it? Another whole set of challenges, right? But here's the good news. God is there and willing to continually fill us with his Holy Spirit on a day-by-day basis. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. In other words, it's not going to get you anywhere. It's just going to cause you to be a shallow, empty person. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled there means be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, one of the most radical, life-changing truths that I came to understand was this. Before I roll out of bed in the morning, you know, some people's feet hit the carpet. We got tile in our bedroom, you know, cold tile. But before my feet hit that cold tile, I've just decided, man, Lord, before I roll out of bed, before I interact with anyone, whether it's my wife, my children, my house pets, doesn't matter, I'm going to ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, please give me the filling of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? Now, you don't have to ask the Lord to make you born again all over the place. You are part of the family of God. But what we need is the filling of his Spirit, the empowering work of his Spirit that will take you and me from right where we are today and make us witnesses. What's a witness? Someone with firsthand knowledge, the subject they're talking about. God wants to transform your life, give you firsthand, not borrowed, not intellectual, but firsthand knowledge of what his love is all about. God wants you to be the poster child of how God can take such crummy, cruddy material like we bring to this process and make us beautiful. Make us like the beautiful one, the most beautiful one in the history of the universe, in our character, in our lives, in the way we choose to relate. We don't have to be stuck in the same old us. We don't have to fall back on the, well, this is just the way I am, I'll never change. Well, that's the flesh talking and it's doing the tug of war. Man, as soon as someone says, oh, it's just, I'm always going to be that way, you can almost smell the brimstone, can't you? But God says, no, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Are you experiencing that? Are you experiencing the newness, the freshness, the filling of God's Holy Spirit? Not just at an overwhelming church service, but as a lifestyle. You do that, and God's Spirit is going to transform your life. It's going to transform your relationships. It's going to transform the way you are at work. It's going to transform the way you are at play. It's going to transform your entire existence. Because God isn't going to be satisfied until you're just like his Son. Don't settle for anything less. Father, thank you for your word this morning and how powerful it is. Thank you, God, that even though sometimes we think we're farther along than we are in our walk with you, it is just so wonderful that you are patient and that you are kind and that you are long-suffering towards us. You've cracked tougher nuts than we could ever be down through time. But I thank you, Lord, that the power of your Holy Spirit can do for us what religion never could. And Lord, we want to take this passage seriously. We want to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. That when people see us from a distance, they see there's something different about us. Not something weird, not something bizarre, not something showy and ostentatious and religious, not something that's proud and puffed up, but something that's beautiful because it flows from you. That people will look at us and just say, why are you so different? Where do you get this peace in your life? Wow, you know, you just seem to know exactly the right thing to say in that circumstance. And it really built up and encouraged that person. Man, where do you get that wisdom? Boy, you know, you're going through these horrific trials and a lot of people just curse God and die, yet you're hanging in there. Where do you get that power? God, we pray that the power of your Spirit would give the answer to all of that. It's not me. It's simply trusting God to live his life out through me each and every day, through each challenge, through each blessing, and everywhere in between. God, give us that vision for our lives. Let us not settle for anything less. And Lord, right now in this holy moment, if, as your Holy Spirit is searching our hearts and minds, we have to confess that we've relied on religion and rituals and routines and belonging to organizations rather than having a beautiful and exciting relationship and a dynamic relationship with you. Father, if you're speaking to us about that, I pray right now we would turn from trusting in our flesh, even religious flesh, and put our trust wholly and completely in you. Lord, you said you'd give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him. So right now in this holy moment, if we are feeling dead and dull and burned out and dried out in our walk with you, Lord, give us that living water. Refresh us, satisfy us, overflow us. And Father, I pray as well, if there are any within the sound of my voice who say, well, I just can't even point to a time when I invited Christ into my life, I pray that this would be the moment. They would realize that you are knocking at the door of their hearts. You say in your word, if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. I pray that right now, this holy moment, they would simply say to you, Lord, I know I need you in my life. I don't want to guess at it. I don't want to slipstream off of somebody else's walk with you. I want to know you personally. So I ask you to come into my heart. I open the door. I ask you to forgive my sins and make me a brand new person from the inside out. I give my life to you now, Lord, because you gave your life for me when you died on the cross for my sins. Father, I pray that if there are any here that prayed that prayer in the sincerity of their heart, they would realize that your word declares the one who comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. God, I pray this would be a spiritual birthday for many and a time of refreshing and a real turnaround in our lives as we discover the resource of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.